Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Ruth chapter 2. If you were with us last week, we were in chapter 1, and we see that Naomi was widowed in a foreign land that her and her husband went to, fleeing famine in the land of Judah. They were part of God's people. God was disciplining his people with famine as he said he would do when they went wayward. And Naomi's family, led by her husband Elimelech, fled Judah instead of repenting. And we see that the results of that fleeing from God were tragic. Elimelech died. Eventually, their two sons passed away. And Naomi is left in a foreign land, a land of God's people's enemies, nonetheless, Moab. And she is left with two Moabite daughters-in-law. And so she makes the decision upon hearing that the famine has ended in the land of Judah and in the town of Bethlehem where she is from. And she goes back, or begins to go back, and her daughters-in-law follow her. And she says, "No, you stay. There is nothing for you where I am going. I have nothing for you. Even if I took a husband today, you would not wait for our children, our sons, if we had sons, to grow old so that you can marry them. It would be no good for you. So stay." One of them, Orpah, stayed in the land of Moab. One of them, Ruth, vowed her life to her. And we see in Ruth chapter 1, God just pour out grace on Naomi, though Naomi is very bitter towards God. He brings news that the famine has ended in the land of Judah to Naomi's ears. And as we said last week, it wasn't the day of Facebook. That wasn't easy news to come across for Naomi. It was God's grace that she heard the famine had ended. We see God move in the heart of this Moabite widow, Ruth, her daughter-in-law, to vow her very life to Naomi. And then we see that once they arrive in Bethlehem, grace upon grace upon grace, they have arrived in Bethlehem at the beginning of the harvest, when food was plentiful and they would hopefully be able to not only gather food for the day, but gather food for the days to come. And that is where we find ourselves. And we compared the grace that the Lord bestowed upon Naomi, though she were bitter towards him, we compared it to the grace that he shows us in Jesus dying on the cross for us. While we were yet his enemies, while we were hostile in mind towards him, he poured out grace in his Son upon us. And so we continue in Ruth chapter 2 this morning, and today we'll continue to see the character of God displayed in the book of Ruth. We will continue to see God sovereignly work in the hearts of people, even bring hope to the hopeless, hope to the embittered, even towards him this morning. Read with me. We're going to read the whole chapter, then we're going to dig into it. Are you ready? All right, follow along with me. Ruth chapter 2, verse 1. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabite, said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? But Boaz answered her, All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. And how you left your father and mother and your native land and come to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Then he said, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord. Then she said, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. And at mealtime, Boaz said to Ruth, Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. Naomi also said to her, The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. And Ruth and the Moabite said, Besides, he said to me, You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all of my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted. So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Amen. This is quite a story, quite a piece of history. It may not seem obvious, but the Lord, just in chapter 2 alone, was working mightily on behalf of Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. And we see the way, a reflection of the way he works in our lives also. He was not only working in their lives, but he was working in the life of Boaz. And we see a couple of things that we need to pull out and apply to our lives this morning. The first is this, that God sovereignly reveals his loving kindness through his people. In the first verse of chapter 2, we see that now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. God's word calls Boaz worthy. It has a couple of different meanings, the first of which is that Boaz was well-to-do. He was well-off. He was rich in the eyes of the world compared to the people around him. We see in verse 5 that Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers that Boaz not only had some servants, but he had enough servants that he had to put one of his servants in charge of his servants. And he had land, so he was a landowner with servants. That would put him at the top tier of most people at that time. So he was a worthy man in the fact that he was a wealthy landowner with servants. But not only that, he was also a worthy man in the sense that he was kind and generous. And that one word communicates to us both things. He was well-to-do, he was kind and generous. And we see his kindness and generosity throughout this entire chapter. Look at verse 4. It says, And he said to the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered to him, The Lord bless you. I have a friend who works for a company in Atlanta. And every once in a while, he posts on social media pictures of things that the company's doing for their employees. And the other day, they had hired a mariachi band just to serenade the employees while they worked. Strange. But my friend who worked for the company, he loves it. I mean, I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, they have the hats and the horns and the whole outfit, everything. They're just serenading them. And he always talks about it on social media because the company treats their employees well. And he speaks well of his employer because of that. And we see an example of that here with Boaz. He approaches his servants and he says, "The Lord be with you." And we see his servants respond, "And the Lord with you." He had a good relationship with his servants, with the people who worked for him, because he was kind and generous. Not only that, we see later on in verse 14 that he ate with his servants. Look at verse 14. It says, "And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, 'Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine.' So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over." So Boaz is feeding his servants in the middle of their work day. And unlike most landowners at the time, Boaz sat down with his servants and ate with them. Meals were similar in some ways to meals today, but they carried a lot more weight then. You ate with people that you socialized with, that you wanted other people to associate with. You did not eat with people that you didn't want others to associate with. So Boaz, sitting down with his servants, showed that he valued his servants and that he did not mind other people associating them with him. He was a good, kind, generous man. He did not look down upon the people he employed, but he served them. So he showed kindness to his servants. He also showed kindness to Ruth. Look at verses 8 and 9. He finds out who Ruth is, and he approaches her, and he says, "Now listen, my daughter, do not glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." So he goes to Ruth, who, remember who Ruth is. She is a Moabite woman who is a widow, which makes her status go from enemy to below enemy. And she is gleaning in the field, in a field of Bethlehem. And he comes to her and he hears of what she's done for her mother-in-law, and he treats her very well. And we see what Boaz does for her actually lines up with Leviticus 19 and Leviticus 23 and Deuteronomy 24, where God commands his people to care for the foreigner, to care for the orphan, to care for the widow, those that are needy and helpless. And so Boaz, in one way, is just keeping in line with God's word, with his commands. But Boaz is actually going beyond that. He says, "You stay close to the women that are in my fields. I've charged my men not to touch you." So he is providing for Ruth, and he is protecting Ruth, grace upon grace. Not only that, he says, "Ruth, when you get thirsty, I want you to go to the well, and I want you to drink the water that my men have drawn." So one, men didn't draw water for men. Women drew water for men. And two, men certainly didn't draw water for women, but certainly not Moabite widows. You see how well and against, and this is a Sunday night word for us, countercultural Boaz is acting towards Ruth. His culture tells him to treat her one way. He is treating her with loving kindness, grace upon grace upon grace. Do you see it? Later on, in verses 14 through 18, his kindness towards her continues. And notice what he addresses her as. He addresses her as daughter. This is not some kind of wooing that Boaz is doing of Ruth. He is just treating her well. He doesn't have ulterior motives. It says at mealtime, verse 14, he said to her, come and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine. That would have been extra good food, like chicken fingers and no honey mustard. Good, but not that good. He's brought the honey mustard to the table. Y'all know what? Yeah. All right. So, and she ate until she was satisfied. So she had more than enough, and she had some left over. So she had the big, nice plastic box from like Outback and Longhorn. It's filled with food. He feeds her until she's satisfied along with his other servants, so much so that she has prepared food to take home for her. And when she gets home, she has an ephah of barley, which is enough that a donkey would have to tote. I don't know how she got it home. I guess she like wrapped it up in her robe or something. And she has also with her a doggy bag from lunch, her leftovers. And Naomi sees her Moabite daughter-in-law and she says, whose field have you worked in today? And she says, Boaz. And the reason Naomi asks that is because she knows whoever's field she's been working in has treated her with loving kindness that goes beyond any law that was required of them. This was not common kindness. This would be like a rich owner of a restaurant walking into a restaurant and telling everyone in there to be seated, the cooks, the servants, and then he cooking and serving the tables, he waiting the tables and doing the dishes for even his employees. Kindness that was over and beyond, the kind of kindness that we see Jesus call his followers to. Matthew 5, 40 and 41, it says, Jesus says, and if anyone should sue you, take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. That's what we see Boaz do here. For people that did not deserve his loving kindness and people that were not receiving loving kindness from anywhere else. Grace upon grace upon grace. We see it again in chapter 2, just grace bestowed upon these women. They didn't deserve it, but they were receiving it over and over and over again. What I want us to see here is this reflection of God's grace that we see so obviously in chapter 1. We see a reflection of it in chapter 2 in a man. Because God reveals his loving kindness through his people. That's what he does. That's what he does. But that's not all we're saying here. God sovereignly reveals his loving kindness through his people. Look at the end of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2. It says, so Naomi returned and Ruth Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her who returned from the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. So there is God working sovereignly, as we said last week. And then verse 1 of chapter 2, now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. That is information at the beginning of chapter 2 that we are privy to as the reader, but Ruth and Naomi were not. They did not know that until Ruth came home. And Naomi goes, whose field did you work in today? And she says, a man named Boaz. And she says, Lord, bless him. Ruth, he is one of our redeemers. Later on in chapter 2, in verse 3, it says, Ruth happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. It's almost like the Holy Spirit inspired the writer of Ruth to be a bit sarcastic here. Like, by chance or by luck, Ruth happened upon the field of Boaz. And it wasn't by luck at all. If we've read chapter 1, we know that. This is God working mysteriously to align events to show loving kindness directly to Naomi and Ruth through Boaz. Church. One of the things we need to see here this morning is this, that as a Christian, you and I are part of God's people, just like Boaz was. He was a godly man. He knew the God of Israel. He followed the God of Israel. We are part of God's people, and as part of God's people, we are the ones that God uses to reveal his loving kindness to the world. That is the privilege and responsibility that Boaz had, and it is the privilege and responsibility that you and I have. The second thing we need to see is that there is no place, there is no time in our lives that God is not sovereign over. In other words, there's no gas pump that you'll drive up to and stop at. There's no restaurant you'll go to. There's no place you'll lay your head at night, no place that you'll work, no place that you'll vacation. There is no time and place in any of our lives that God is not sovereign over, and God may not choose to work through us to reveal his loving kindness to a stranger or an acquaintance or a friend or a family member that needs to see his loving kindness in their lives. He did it through Boaz. We are his people, just like Boaz was. And he is sovereign over our lives, just like he was sovereign over Boaz's life. So let me ask you, the people that you're coming in contact with, are you revealing the loving kindness of your Savior to them? Or are you revealing something else? It's a hard question, isn't it? What Ruth and Naomi saw was God's loving kindness towards them through Boaz. May the people we come in contact see the same thing. So God sovereignly reveals his loving kindness through his people, through you and me. Truth piece two, God gives hope to the hopeless through his loving kindness. Ruth's response to this loving kindness from Boaz. She was a widow. She was the enemy. She was aware of it. She calls herself a foreigner in verse 10. She says, "You have helped me, though I'm not even one of your servants," in verse 13. And that word servant there is a word that was used to refer to the lowliest of servants. She says to Boaz, "I'm not even one of your lowest servants, and you have treated me with great kindness." She was very aware of her status. And she recognizes what Boaz has done for her, and she tells him as much. In verse 13, she says to him, "You have comforted me." Literally, the word comfort there is the idea of someone who is panic-stricken, anxiety-stricken, and all of a sudden they have been comforted and they can breathe deeply again. Ruth is living in a state of panic. She has vowed her life to Naomi, but she doesn't know where the next meal will come from. She doesn't know how they will be protected from predators and such, and from men who want to take advantage. She doesn't know any of these things, and all of a sudden Boaz comes in her life and provides all those things, and she can breathe deeply again. She has been comforted. And God used Boaz to reveal that loving kindness to Ruth. And that was the result. She was comforted. But not only Ruth was comforted, but Naomi was too. We could say Ruth was hopeless. She had made a daring, brave decision, but she was hopeless when the circumstances came to day-to-day life, as was Naomi. And we see it a little bit more clearly because Naomi was hopeless and bitter towards God. And notice Naomi's response to the kindness, the loving kindness of Boaz in verse 20. Notice who she attributes it to. It says, "And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law," after finding out what Boaz had done for her and who he was, she says, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Notice what she does with the kindness of Boaz. She directly connects it to the kindness of the Lord. She knows that she has been shown loving kindness by the Lord through Boaz. She recognizes it. She recognizes it. And her faith in the Lord is renewed. She moves from embittered to joyful. And she moves from hopeless to hopeful. That is what God used Boaz to do in the life of Naomi. So let's go back to what we were thinking about a moment ago. Church, we are the ones God uses to show the world his loving kindness. So not only that are we the ones that they see God's loving kindness through, but we are the ones God uses to move those who are hopeless to reveal hope to them. To those that are embittered, notice, like, Naomi wouldn't have been an easy one to serve. She would have been the hardest to serve because of her bitterness. But in her bitterness, she was moved from hopeless to hopeful. And those are the people that we are called to reflect God's loving kindness to. What a privilege to change, to be a part of God changing a hopeless heart to a heart filled with hope. Perhaps this morning, Christian, this is what you need to be reminded of. God's loving kindness. Perhaps this morning, you, like Naomi, just need to see God's sovereignty and his loving kindness for you so that you can be moved from hopeless and bitter to hope-filled and joyful in spite of your circumstances, because our circumstances do not change God's character. Perhaps this morning, Christian, you, and this homework from the preacher, for myself included, is there someone in your life that needs hope? Is there someone in your life that needs to be shown this kind of loving kindness? Not just the kind that we're required to show them, but the kind that goes the second mile. Is there someone in your life like that? What's their name? How can you show God's loving kindness to them this week? How can you be sovereignly used by God to reveal his loving kindness to that person? May we be Eastside Baptist. May Eastside Baptist be a Boaz in Grady County. Non-Christian. Maybe you're here this morning, you're here because you're just supposed to be. Maybe you're here this morning because, or you're listening this morning because you just happened upon it, as we see in chapter 2. I'd say you didn't land on it by luck. Perhaps you're hopeless today. Perhaps you are doubtful of God's loving kindness for you. And I want to say that the greatest revelation of God's loving kindness for you is the cross. That though you are in sin and you are hostile towards God, he sent his son to live the life you should have lived. And though you deserve death because of your sin, he sent his son to live a perfect life and to die a sacrificial death in your place. And then to go on 3 days later and to conquer death on your behalf. And the call to you this morning, hope is available to you this morning through faith in Christ, in Jesus, his son. That's it. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that he is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day, you will be saved. And that is God's greatest revelation of his loving kindness for you. So if you're here today and that's you, I want to call you to faith this morning. You place faith in the only one who can save you, and the only one who is true hope for all of us who are hopeless apart from him. Christian, perhaps you need to repent this morning for displaying something other than God's loving kindness to those around you. Perhaps you need to pray for strength and wisdom in how to show God's loving kindness to those around you. Maybe, and I would say positively, we all need to just praise God for the loving kindness he's shown us in the cross of his son. However, we need to respond this morning. Let's pray and then sing and respond however the Spirit's leading. Father, you are good, loving, and kind. God, we thank you for the host of ways you display that to us. And God, we thank you as a church today for the privilege and the responsibility you have given us to display your loving kindness to the world. God, I pray that you would use Eastside Baptist just as you used Boaz to show your loving kindness in our county and beyond. I pray that just as Naomi and Ruth encountered Boaz and then encountered your loving kindness through Boaz, that people in our county would, and they would come to faith in you alone for the forgiveness of their sins. God, I just pray that you would just do work that only you can do in our hearts as your people, and work that only you can do in those that don't know you. Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your Spirit, and we thank you for your word. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo, and I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
From above, I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return. All my hope is in Jesus. Days gone, all my sins are forgiven, and I've been washed by the blood. I'm no stranger to the prison. I've worn shackles and chains, but I've been freed and forgiven, and I'm not going back. I'll never be the same. So I say, oh, my hope is in Jesus. Yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. There's a kind of thing that just breaks a man. Break him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord, then he picked me up and showed me what it means to be a man. Come on and sing. All my hope is in. By the blood. Come on, sing. I've been lost, but I